Welcome, fellow dialoguers, on our reflection of this Easter Saturday. I have a few thoughts that I want to share with you, and I pray that you might draw closer to God through this. The author of Ecclesiastes writes, "There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." We are in the heart of the greatest act of history, between the cross and the empty tomb. We are in the time of silence today, in the time to break down, to weep, and to mourn. The Bible is astonishingly honest. Far more than any other book, it really cuts through into the heart of what it means to be human. It describes our highs, our nearness with God, but it also describes our lows, where we feel as though we are in the pit. And today I want to put us just a little bit in the feet of the apostles themselves. Up to the time of the crucifixion, leading up to the Saturday, it was a very trying time. You see, they actually started their journey to Jerusalem from Galilee via Jericho, which is a route of about 160 to 180 kilometers. And over a period of 5 to 6 days, at an average of about 30 kilometers a day, they made their journey. And they obviously stopped along the way. And having recently tried to walk on a hike, I can tell you that's not an easy task. They experienced miracle after miracle and teaching after teaching. And Jesus finally enters Jerusalem on a donkey, and he's hailed as king. The next day, Jesus cleanses the temple, kicking the hornet's nest. That evening, his enemies started to plot to kill him. The next day was especially intense. It was a day of trials and teaching. He got peppered with questions by all of the Jewish factions trying to catch him out. And yet, with his wisdom, he silenced each one of them. He gave some of his most pronounced teachings. And that night, his enemies focused their plan to kill him. And that night, one of the disciples, one of their own, offered to betray Jesus. The Wednesday before the Saturday was a day of rest. The Thursday, Jesus predicted where the Last Supper would take place, and he gave his most famous teaching. And in the heart of his most intimate meal and teaching and prayer, showing them what it means to lead, Judas is possessed with the idea to betray him. And after all this, he walks to a garden, Gethsemane, where the ordeal is only now going to begin. They are going to witness Jesus' passion. The disciples went from witnessing miracles, prophecy, and the excitement of the coming Messiah and his kingdom to having their floor ripped out from under them. Their leader was arrested and unfairly tried. He was tried 3 times before the religious leaders and 3 times before the governmental leaders, and they condemned him unfairly. He was betrayed, beaten, whipped, scourged, and tortured in the most cruel way known to the world at that point. And all of this was unfair. He was mocked by the crowds. He was spat at. He was laughed at and finally murdered. During all this, the disciples were cowards, betraying their beloved leader, and eventually scattered during this series of traumatic events. Their world stopped spinning. All their hopes were dashed, and none of it made sense. Where was God in all of this? That is the backdrop to their Saturday. So what does this mean for our suffering? Because the fact is, we've all had a small taste of this kind of suffering, where the noise fades to the background. For some of us, at the news of an illness, maybe the loss of a loved one, betrayal, or an unexpected accident. But if we stop and take a deeper look, we'll notice there's another story being whispered along these events. Were the disciples, during all the highs in their week before the crucifixion, Jesus tells them that he's going to be murdered and rise up after 3 days. He actually did it quite a few times. And Jesus is intentional about what he says, about his teachings and his prophecies. Even in the middle of his greatest suffering, on the cross, he quotes Psalm 22. You see, something else is happening alongside the low. The Christian worldview has a unique perspective on history. For example, to our secular friends, history is a series of meaningless or random events. Sure, you can say that your life has meaning, but in reality, that's our own fantasies, it's our created meaning. Not so for Christians. We see that history has meaning. Why? Because Jesus rose from the grave, as he said he would. That implies that things from the past have bearing on the present, and that there is an end on the way. Time and our lives have a purpose, and that purpose is ultimately good. And that's significant, because it means that even in our darkest times, there is hope. And let me let you in on a little secret. Hope does not disappoint. And here's what it means for us and our suffering. We can rest assured that there is a deeper purpose to it. Now, admittedly, you might think I'm naive, or that I haven't experienced what you've experienced, and that's true, I haven't. But I might add that you haven't experienced what the disciples experienced. You might go on and think, I'm saying suffering is easier now. If you just believe in Jesus, everything has meaning, right? Well, there too we would have to say no. Sin and suffering has weight to it. And it's not something light that we can just wish away and say, be happy about it. So how can we respond to those silent Saturdays when our lives are turned upside down and time seems to stop? For me at least, the scariest thing about those moments is that the sun comes up the next morning, the birds sing, and life goes on, except for you. Your life is upside down, and you're in shock, and you're alone. So here's three things that I think we can think about our silent Saturdays. But it's in the light of the resurrection. These three things are lament, cover, and turn. Firstly, lament. You see, we have a long tradition of lament that followers of God have been practicing for millennia. We acknowledge the gravity of sin and suffering. For example, Christ's wounds didn't disappear at the resurrection. His scars remain in his glorified body. And yet, we are encouraged to weep during trying times, to accept that something bad has happened, just like Jesus did with his friend Lazarus. Suffering isn't just a set of logical problems, something cognitive to think about. We are to experience it in our bodies. We experience our pain before God. Secondly, cover. As Christians, we are called to bear each other's burdens. Now, that implies two things. Number one, you are living in a way that invites others in. And secondly, you count your brother's burdens as your own. We are to be Christ's hands and feet for everyone. We are his body. We are united in Christ. So it's lament, cover, and finally turn. Bring your cries to God. That's something really practical we can do, and that's part of lament. We have a God who literally knows what we've been through. Have you felt pain feeling alone? So has he. Have you ever felt betrayed? So has he. Have you ever lost a family member? So has he. I can go on. He suffered far beyond our capacity, and yet he loves us, and he wants to carry our burdens. So turn. Talk to him in prayer, in worship, with a soul of silence, in screams, in anguish, in bitterness. In all of these states, talk to him. Just talk. He understands. On the cross, Jesus quoted Psalm 22, as I mentioned earlier. And it's designed in the Psalms, along with Psalm 23 and 24, to match the weekend. The Friday has Jesus in Psalm 22 on the cross, implying that he will be torn and betrayed, but that a kingdom is on its way that stretches out to the end of the world. I encourage you to go read it. Psalm 24, corresponding with Sunday, matches the triumphant return of the king to his city. I also encourage you to read it. But between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24, we have Saturday. We have Psalm 23. Now listen carefully to the overtones, and I'll leave you with a psalm. You see, our Saturdays have meaning. God loves us and has a goal with our lives. He will guide us through it, and remember, you are not alone. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Have a blessed, silent Saturday.